thanks for joining us this morning. Before I introduce our guests, I want to tell everybody that Beauty from Ashes Ranch is going to have a fundraiser on September 6th. If you go to beautyfromashesranch.org, you'll have more information about that project. It's a great project. And also, Law Matters is going to have a fundraiser on the 8th of September at the Westward Look Resort. And I know it's not a pretty subject. We're going to be talking about sex trafficking. And I think every parent, every teacher, every lawyer, every doctor, everybody should be there. And you can go to our website, lawmatters1030.org, to buy tickets and get more information about what's going on. Okay, our guest today is the director of the Register of Contractors, Jeff Fleetum. Thank you for coming down all the way from Phoenix.
It's not much of a drive. It didn't take us long to get here, but thanks for asking us to come down, Sherry. We're really excited to be here with you.
Well, you know what? I was inspired by a situation that happened to one of my borrowers, and I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe this is going on. There ought to be a law. And then I found out there is one. Here you are. So,
absolutely.
Let's talk about some of the scams and some of the things that happen that people really need to watch out for. And okay. I know you're not fond of the word handyman, but a lot of people down in Southern Arizona advertise their handyman.
Correct.
And, you know, that implies they can do anything, including break the law. So, so let's talk about what people need to watch out for.
So handyman's a term that's been used a lot, and, you know, there's and a lot of people consider handyman as being something that is frequently that it's not. In Arizona statutes, they're in a statute that lists people that do not need to be licensed. And one of those groups or one of those exemptions is for any work under $1,000 material and labor that doesn't require a permit. This isn't going to be the exact statute, but kind of give you a thumbnail. That doesn't require a permit, that doesn't include electrical or plumbing or HVAC, that person doesn't need to be licensed. Anything over that amount, then they typically need to be licensed by the state of Arizona in their field of expertise, the work that they're doing.
Okay, so when you've got a handyman coming in to rewire your whatever, washer, dryer, your refrigerator, your electrical outlets, they need a special license?
Well, it depends on what you're talking about rewiring. If you're talking about running wiring,
right,
you know, from your meter box into things or moving receptacles, then they need to have, if it's electrical, then they need to have an electrical license. Typically, those kind of efforts that somebody is doing probably needs a permit by the municipality. We encourage the homeowner or the person contracting with people to double check to make sure it doesn't need a permit. If it does, then make sure that they got the proper people doing it. An electrician to do electrical work makes sense. Now, it doesn't mean that a licensed electrician couldn't call themselves handyman services. Handyman is just a term that's used. Okay. There's no such thing as a handyman exemption, or there's no such thing as handyman not being licensed. There's some people that have that as their part of the name of their licensed company. So don't be confused by how somebody calls themselves one thing or another. So
when I see a truck going down the street and it has the numbers on the back, what are the letters before the numbers? That means...
Oh, okay. Oh, or like our license number? It would be
right.
ROC, ROC... Bop, 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 5, 6 numbers on that. That's
exactly.
That means they have an ROC license, and that's their license number.
But that doesn't mean it's current.
No, it does not. So
you still need to look it up.
Always check with the Register of Contractors. You can go to our website, roc.az.gov, or you can call us and call us
like
and
I
ask.
Like I did.
Yeah, like call us like you did and found out that we're there. So the thing is, you know, and I talk about this a lot, and it's not meant to be disrespectful for anybody. But the truth is, when it comes to construction and activities that go on in a person's house and remodels and these things, many people do more due diligence changing their cell phone plan than they do signing a contract to do a $30,000 remodel.
Right.
So please, I mean, check everything, because this is probably some of the biggest expense you're ever going to have, aside from buying your home or maybe buying a car. And double check, always double check. Check for references with people. Make sure the person is licensed by contacting the Register of Contractors, looking at our website. If you're not comfortable with that, call us. Always call us. And there's a whole list of other things that people should do, and we can go into that if you have time.
Sure.
We can go into it.
We've got an hour. I want our listeners to be educated.
So on our website, and I won't go through the complete list. There's a list of items that people should look for, and also insure before they sign something. One, don't pay anybody cash. If somebody's pressing you to pay cash, don't pay them cash. Never write a check to somebody. If you're doing work with ABC Construction, don't write a check to Bob. Write a check to ABC Construction.
Okay.
Because that's who you're doing business with. Don't write checks to anybody that comes up and go, hey, that guy didn't pay me. You need to pay me. That's not who you contracted with. Make sure whatever you're having done is written down. There's statutes, minimum elements of a contract. Make sure those things are getting, that you know what's going on, that there's agreement between you and the contractor of exactly what's going on, and it's listed and it's written and everybody knows what's happening there. So those are the key things. If somebody comes up and knocks on your door and says, hey, I've got an extra load of asphalt. Would you like your driveway repaved? Kind of think to yourself, how did this happen? You know, how did this happen that, you know, that you're just driving down the street and you have extra product? So I encourage people to not contract with people to come up and knock on their door and go, hey, you need to do this right now. Hey, let me replace your roof. Hey, let me do that. We're coming into an interesting time in monsoon. So
at what point does somebody need a permit? You said permit. You know, we're talking electrical. Mm-hmm. What about plumbing? And there was another one that you said that needed a special type of
air conditioning, those type of things.
At what point do they need a permit?
Well, that depends on the municipality. In other words, if they live in Tucson city limits, mm-hmm. Tucson has its requirements. South Tucson has its requirements. Benson has its requirements. Marana has its requirements. Oftentimes they're the same, but you have to check with whatever your municipality is. And if you're not in one of those incorporated areas, those towns, you need to then check with your county. You need to check with your county and make sure what needs to be permitted. Oftentimes you can find that information on their website. Go to their website, look what things need to be permitted, what things you need to come in here and give me drawings on, all those kind of things. So,
okay, do they base that on the price of what's being done or the magnitude of what's being done?
It can be. It depends. It depends on the municipality. And okay. in our industry called authority having jurisdiction, the AHJ. So some people may hear that term. So if, say, there might be a municipality that says any job over X number of dollars, you must have a permit. There might be another one that says any of these things. So that's why you have to check. There's no one thing that happens all over the place. So just check in your municipality or your state.
So if you've got a company, the company is licensed, do all their employees have to have some type of certification and be licensed or certified as well? Or does it just fall under the umbrella of one company?
The company in Arizona, the company is licensed. The company is responsible for the work that all their employees do.
So if they hire somebody, they're responsible
behavior. Yeah, in Arizona, we don't license individuals in the construction industry.
Okay.
I mean, if you're a sole proprietorship and you have your business, then that's licensed. So the reality is this, is that the business owns the license. The license is qualified for by an individual who passes exams type thing and is responsible for that. However, the business is, but individuals don't have to be licensed to work for that company. So if I'm an electrical company, say I'm Jeff Fleetham Electrical, and you work for me, you don't have to have an electrical license. I'm responsible for what you do. So it's my responsibility that you know what you're doing, because if you do something wrong, I'm on the hook.
Okay. So you have to do your due diligence, and I would not hire me for anything electrical. Or okay. Roofing or masonry.
See, let me write that down.
Don't hire
Sherry.
Okay, some of the things were just before the show started, and you kind of opened my eyes to something. A lot of people feel there are people out there that are targeting the elderly because the elderly are vulnerable. But you expanded that concept to something I hadn't thought of before, like a storm blows through.
Right, right.
And tell our listeners what vulnerable are.
Well, I'll give you an example of what was some of the things that happened during a big storm event in Maricopa County, really several years ago, but it was pretty massive. In October of 2010, there was a huge storm that ran through Maricopa County, a hailstorm, destroyed and damaged approximately 150,000 roofs.
Yeah.
That's a thumbnail. Nobody hold me to it if it was 140 or 160, but it was approximately 150,000. So here's what happens. Your roof is destroyed or it's blowing off. You know it's during our monsoon or rainy seasons, and you're thinking, oh my God, I've got to get this fixed instantly. So you call your insurance company. Of course, there's 150,000 roofs. There's not 150,000 licensed roofing contractors in Arizona.
Right.
So everybody's backed up. Everybody's jammed up. People start traveling in from out of state or other places or other characters that aren't licensed here, and they start running around to people's houses, coming up to their houses, sticking a sign in their yard before they even come up to the door, knocking and going, hey, we'll fix your roof. Sign over your insurance check to us, and we'll get it taken care of. So people sign over because they're worried. Their house is exposed. So my house is exposed. I've already got some damage on the inside, but I'm worried about more. I need this fixed. And so they give these people, they sign their insurance check over to these people. These people then take their insurance check, they go cash it, and they drive back to wherever they came from.
Right.
So here's what the homeowner ends up with. They ends up with the home that is damaged, that the insurance company has already paid out to cover the repair. So what and then the folks have given their money to somebody to repair it, and these people have not repaired it. They have stolen their money. However, the insurance company has done what they're supposed to do. They paid for the loss. So in essence, this is what could happen. You now have an uninsurable risk because you don't have a roof. You don't have shingles on your roof. It's uninsurable, right?
Right.
So you don't have that. So you have a mortgage on this house. And now you're uninsurable. So you're uninsurable. And I'm just saying these are scenarios. You're uninsurable. Your mortgage company goes, you need insurance. You just gave the $10,000 check to this guy to fix your roof. And now you got to come up with $10,000 to fix your roof. So your house becomes insurable and your mortgage company doesn't default. So what's the solution to this? Don't make hurried decisions. Find out other ways to mitigate the damage. So if you've got something torn off of your roof, realize this. If you've got the damage here and you look down your street or you drive through your neighborhood and there's damage everywhere, you're not going to get anybody to your house tomorrow. They're going to get there when they can get there. And if somebody comes up to your door and knocks on your door, you don't want to do business with them that way. You're calling these people to do that. Think of that. Everybody knows that there's damage. People aren't knocking on people's door. Hey, let us fix this. If the guy can say, I can fix your roof tomorrow in a situation like that, guess what? Why doesn't he have other jobs?
True that.
So now some of these things are opinion and just experience from being in the industry for years and years, that these are the things that happen. So so when we think vulnerable, oftentimes in our society, we think it has to be somebody that's elderly. And that's not the case. It's anybody that can be taken advantage of that way. And a vulnerable community is just like that. You have damage, or it might be somebody who is elderly or has some other sort of physical disability. Because guess what? If I come to you and say, I can fix your roof, I went up and fixed your roof. Give me a check. I can't go up on the ladder if I've got, if I'm wheelchair bound. I have to take you for your word. I sign it off, all those other things. just please, no matter what you do in Arizona, always check with the Arizona Register of Contractors. Always hire licensed. Always hire licensed. The situation, if you hire a licensed contractor, doesn't mean that something isn't going to go wrong. Things happen. You know, there's disagreements. There's misunderstandings. That happens. However, if you go with the Register of Contractors, a licensed contractor, you have access to the Residential Recovery Fund that you may be able to seek monetary recovery versus suing some ghost almost someplace trying to find them down. So.
Totally out of it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few.
Gotcha.
Okay, we're back. Thanks for staying with us. If you have questions or want more information, their website is roc.az.gov, and their phone number is 877-MY-AZ-ROC. My rock. He's my rock. He's right here, and he's educating me. I'm telling you, I was the situation, and we're not going to name names or talk about it directly because it's an ongoing investigation and we don't want to screw that up. But it kind of appalled me that somebody would be so bold to show up to somebody's house and say, oh, I can do this, when they don't even own the tools to do the job with, and then keep taking money and not doing any of the work. And all I could think is there's got to be something that people can do. And there is. If you go to your website, there's a complaint form.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is.
Fill it out. I'm a paralegal. So fill it out. Keep your documentation, your bank statements, your checks, whatever proof you have that, you know, the money went from you to this person. Text messages, emails, contract that was provided with letterhead and signatures. Keep all this stuff. Keep it in a file, because once you file this report, you're going to have an investigator contacting you saying, okay, I need more information. And you can say, here's your file. And don't give them the originals. Never give the originals away. Always make copies. So tell me about some of the horrific cases that you guys have solved. Can people go to jail for this?
Well, yes, they do. And we have some, there was a, Arizona is a hotbed for nomadic organized crime, families really, who specialize in a variety of different criminal activities.
Give me an example.
Typically called Bunko, which are crimes of deception. Everything from ATM scams, calling people and saying, hey, I'm your grandson, I'm lost in South America, send me money, that type of thing, to coming to somebody's house and saying, hey, let us fix your driveway. So one of the things that doesn't happen, this kind of thing doesn't happen so much in Arizona, in our southern areas and in the valley of Phoenix, but maybe in the higher areas where people have asphalt driveways and things. Well, these folks will come up and go, hey, we're going to redo your driveway, we're going to do this and that, and they actually spray a liquid on your asphalt so it looks kind of fresh.
Wow.
And until it rains. Or they come and they say, we're going to do your driveway. We have this extra asphalt. We just happen to be driving down the street with this paving truck and this dump truck full of asphalt because we just have extra. We just have extra. So let us do your driveway. And so what they'll do is they'll do a driveway, you know, and there's certain thicknesses that this has to be laid at, you know, for loads and all these things. So they'll lay out a thin layer of asphalt. They'll charge the folks. They'll typically go after people who are vulnerable again, who maybe have some sort of physical limitation, can't get out, or something like that. They have a variety of different people. They're very sharp. They know how to sell stuff. They've been doing it for years. It's a cultural thing with them. And so you go out into your driveway after it's done, after something doesn't seem right, and you take your pencil and you press it through your asphalt to the dirt, because you've got a half an inch of asphalt. So those type of things. So, but we have a family that had been in the valley since the 70s, and they had been one of these groups.
Wow.
And they had a last name that had carried through there, and some generational, there were some additional names that went through it. I'm not going to necessarily say the names, but what
happened. So it was like name recognition. I can trust these people?
So we do this. Well, no. It's not that.
Okay.
It's they're recognized in the National Association of Bunco Investigators database as being ongoing.
Wrong recognition.
Recognition. So this one member of this family was found out after their victim had passed away. I may have these numbers wrong a little bit, but it was in excess of $200,000 that this person had taken from this elderly woman to re-roof her mobile home.
Oh, my God.
Every year.
Every year?
Pretty much every year. So he was, so anyway, his name was John Parks. He's got 10 years in prison. The AG prosecuted him for us. So it can be like that. There's other people that are in prison. We've worked with U.S. Marshals in Florida and California to get a hold of some people that have been hard for us to go after. They work with us. We give them the information and they go after, because some of these dollar amounts can get monster. So this Parks was in excess of $200,000. And that's what we know of. Who knows what else it was, but this is what that was. And it had been going on for years. There's a couple other people where these things will go to prosecutors, and because of the level, it may be it's a misdemeanor. Somebody will get a little probation.
Okay.
You know, they might get like a probationer. They might get, you know, maybe a $500 fine, you know, one day, at, you know, 2 days in jail. And then they just go back out and do it again. And then it ramps up. Then we find them again and it ramps up. And then pretty soon prosecutors are putting these all together. It becomes aggravating. And a prosecutor will then, if we get these other cases, we send them to prosecutors, and then they'll get them on. It'll move to felony convictions and then prison time. So our prosecutions are up significantly year over year from what they used to be, because we're focusing more on the really bad actors and trying to get the ones that are doing unlicensed work that either, one, don't know that they're supposed to be licensed. With so many people coming in Arizona, that happens sometimes, or people that are just trying to, you know, skirt the law.
How do you differentiate as investigators, because you have investigators, mm-hmm. How do you differentiate between somebody who goes, oh, I didn't know, to somebody who is doing it as a con job?
Okay. So, oh, I didn't know. And we say, you need to get licensed. Come on in. They go, okay. And they get licensed versus, no, I'm not going to get
licensed. They disappear.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there people out there? I mean, do you have a most wanted list?
We do have a most wanted list, to be
really?
Quite honest with you. You can
awesome.
Go on the most wanted list. You can look at those pictures and you can see those, and it rotates through. And that is based on, it's really pretty, it's a pretty interesting list. It's based on people that the most egregious, the longest term, and we can see those. But here's one of the reasons why we do that as well. We want to let people know that there are bad actors like that. There's bad actors in the construction industry, just like there's bad actors in every industry.
Right.
Okay.
Mortgage
There's
industry,
no more bad actors in the construction industry as a percentage than any other industry. I can virtually guarantee you that. I've been in the industry my whole life, and I know a lot of honorable people. 95% of licensed contractors never get a complaint filed. So you might imagine that the 5% that do, not all of those cases are valid.
Yeah.
And of the valid ones, they can be taken care of. So, however, it doesn't mean that, you know, everybody that does unlicensed work is not a bad actor. And so we try to get them licensed. The ones that are bad actors, we take the actions that we can to get those things corrected.
You have to be a prosecutor's dream, because you're out there investigating, you're putting together a file, and you just walk in and say, here's a bad guy, here's the evidence, take on the case if you can. What? How does that work?
Well, I don't know if we're a prosecutor's dream necessarily. A lot of our prosecutors, they have full loads and they've got a lot of things going on.
Right.
And though it may not seem, if I'm the one that's been aggrieved, that if I've lost $10,000, that's really important to me. But maybe a prosecutor's office is swamped with maybe, bank robberies or murders or child trafficking, sex trafficking.
Yes, sex trafficking.
So, however, what our investigators do, many of our investigators in our training focuses on how to package these cases together so that law enforcement can use them properly. And we spent a lot of time developing relationships with local county and the AG's office so that they know when we hand them something, it's complete. We're not going to hand them something that they've got to go, what the heck is this?
Yeah, go out and get
the evidence
themselves.
So, in law enforcement, when they get something from somebody, then they have to go back and get something, they call it furthers. So, we need more information. So what we do is we strive to make sure that our cases are as complete as possible so that they don't have to do those things and that they're in logical order, this, and we go through there. And if then one of them has a question, they can call a qualified person at our office just to double check. So that's our goal. So our goal is that we're handing them something that makes it easy for them to do it if they have the bandwidth to do it.
If they have the time. How many investigators do you have in Arizona?
We have 35 investigators in the state of Arizona. Our investigators, up until recently, it was a bifurcated force. We had half of it investigated license complaints, another half investigated unlicensed complaints. There's cross training that's gone on, and so they'll all handle both. So here's what happens. So say I'm an investigator in my territory, and my territory is typically assigned, in the larger municipal areas, it's you got zip code 85055, 85056, all the, and I'm responsible for everything that happens there, licensed and unlicensed. I also take information to the Home Depot and I put it up there. I drive down the street, and if I see you out in the front street, doing something, I might stop by and go, hey, and there's work going on in your house here. My name is Jeff. Here's my card. Do you have any questions? Don't hesitate to call and just keep on moving. So what happens, though, is if I find an unlicensed thing happening in my territory, I go up, I talk to the guys, are you licensed? They say no. You go, look, you need to be licensed. This is a citation. Maybe have a cease and desist you have to stop. Please come in and get licensed. Come in and talk to us, get licensed. If these cases get to a point where if these unlicensed activities get to a point where it needs to then move into the criminal realm, then we take those cases, our investigators, they move it to a special unit that specializes in making sure these things are completely packaged before passing it off to the prosecutors.
That's awesome. You said you can issue citations to people. What is the dollar amount that goes along with the citation?
It varies typically. Let me look here for this number. I don't want to. So I learned a long time ago not to start throwing stuff out from memory. Don't try to memorize the statute. Read the statute out of the black part. So the first offense is up to $1,500. After that, it's $2,500.
So if you've got somebody who's absconded with somebody's money and they haven't done the work, they can get a $1,500 fine? Your handyman scenario?
No, you mean our unlicensed entity. That's what we call them. The unlicensed entity can get a $1,500 fine from us or more. So $1,500 typically they'll get a warning, get licensed, get licensed. Just because somebody's unlicensed doesn't mean there's work that they performed that was poor either. It might be okay. So,
true.
But so the deal is get licensed.
Okay. The person I'm thinking of was hired to do a job. He didn't have the tools to do that job.
Right.
So I was like, why would you tell somebody you're going to do this, and when you know you don't have the ability to make it happen? Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a few.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks for staying with us. We're here with Jeff Fleetum. He's the director of the Register of Contractors, and the show was inspired by somebody who wasn't doing the job they were hired to do and took money from people that he shouldn't have taken. And I'm finding out, as my listeners are finding out, there's a whole scope of what people need to do if they're going to work in the construction business.
Correct.
In Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is you need to be licensed to do certain things.
Correct.
And if you're, I'm finding out that if you're going to do roofing, you have to have that particular license. If you're going to do electric, you have to have that particular
typically
license. And if you're working for a contractor or somebody who says he's a contractor, you don't have to necessarily be licensed, but the person you're working for has to be licensed.
Right. So this typically, well, I'll give you kind of a thumbnail of how this the whole scheme works.
Okay.
Is in Arizona, legislative by statute, the Register of Contractors was created in 1931. The Register of Contractors licenses businesses. In other words, you know, XYZ Construction Company. So I'm a general I'm a general contracting company.
Okay, wait a minute. What does that mean, general? Okay,
that's what I was going to get into.
Okay.
Say I'm a general residential contractor. That means my scope of work that I can perform is I can bid and perform the work to build a home. I can build your home.
Okay.
Except for I must subcontract out the electrical work, the plumbing work, and the HVAC, and the swimming pool. They're special things.
Okay.
But think of this. Is a general contractor is the one, if you have a monster project that you want to do, or if you have a project that's going to require multiple trades, multiple different things to be done, it's best to go with a general contractor rather than try to manage the whole thing yourself, unless you don't have work to do, because it's a full-time job to do that. But if you have electrical work to do, you need to hire an electrical contractor generally. If you have plumbing work, hire a plumber. You know, if you need to replace your toilet in your house, you need to have your sewers cleaned out, you need to do these other things, you need to run new lines for a new bathroom, hire a plumber. Hire a plumber, licensed plumbing contractor. Whatever you do, if you're confused with how that goes, call the Registrar of Contractors and we'll tell you what scopes of licenses those need to be. So you've got that to consider is what you're having done, what you want done. Make sure you hire somebody licensed. If you have a question about what license is required to do the work you do, call the Register of Contractors, ask us what license needs to be done. Always hire licensed no matter what. And a reputable licensed contractor, if you have a general contracting job to done and you called an electrician to go, I can't do the whole job, you're going to have to hire somebody else. So,
okay. And I love your phone number because it's so easy to remember. 877-MY-AZ-ROCK.
Correct.
And what the heck, that you can get all your answers there. And, you know, the other thing is, people don't realize just because you hired an electrician or a plumber or, you know, these people who are licensed, sometimes you need a permit.
Oh, yes. And you double check with the municipality to see if there's a permit. So what can happen, though, sometimes is people go, that permit costs a lot of money.
Sometimes.
So I'm not going to get the permit. So it doesn't relieve them from the fact that they probably should have had to have the permit. And a municipality, the authority having jurisdiction, can come back and go, you didn't get a permit. Here's a penalty, or here, open up that wall. Take all that drywall off that plumbing wall so we can see if that plumbing was done right, which you should have had the permit so our inspector could see it before you put the drywall up.
Because there's different stages that an inspector has to come in and look at things
right before
you move forward.
Right, to ensure that they're right. And sometimes... many of us think that, you know, so we go, it's only plumbing. So what does that mean? Well, it's your potable water supply. You know, you certainly want the water coming into your system that you have, that you put in your pots and your pans and all that. You want it to be installed properly so it's not sucking any sort of material dirt through a leak someplace. You want to make sure your sewage system in your water closet is eliminating the waste properly, so it's not seeping under your house, seeping into the floor. You're having methane gases flying. Those are some serious things. Or you want the venting in your house to be proper. So those are the reasons why you want some of these things. And do they cost more than if you don't have them done right?
Eventually.
Initially, but they certainly, the way I kind of look at it, so it's going to cost me X number of dollars to do this right, or it's going to cost me half that to do it wrong.
And then
and once
for
we
it
find
later.
Out, then it's going to cost me four times that to do it right afterwards, because I'm going to have to do it right eventually.
So true. And when you go to sell that house and it isn't done correctly, you've got a problem. And that's where I'm a loan officer.
Right.
That's where, inspections come in.
Right. Inspections. And you want to make sure,
we've had people. In fact, I almost bought a house on the east side of town. And my gut said, you need to research this house a little bit more. Ended up down at the planning and zoning
right,
people.
Right.
And I asked them about the property. I said, do you have anything I can look up on this property? And they showed me pictures of the property underwater. And I said, well, this wasn't there. This is what they've built since then. And they looked it up and they said they don't have permit one for anything they've built.
So what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, what the heck? And he said, buying this house, he said, you're taking on the liability if that wall floats down and,
It's in the floodplain, the hatch mark. That's not the 500-year flood.
Well,
it's the every time it rains flood.
He said, isn't it a flood zone? He said, no, it's in a floodplain.
Right.
I mean, it's going to flood.
Right, right.
It's like, oh, I didn't know there's a difference.
Yeah.
I'm from Chicago. This
right.
was all new lingo to me.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear some of the things people try to do to cut corners.
So, right. I mean, and consider, if you're doing some of these jobs, and a lot of this stuff is not inexpensive, and it's not inexpensive for reasons. It's not somebody's trying to bilk somebody. It's because it costs money to do things right.
Yeah.
So, in some of these things, if you do a major project, you're going to be paying for it for a long time. You certainly don't want to be paying for something that was wrong for a long time. You want to be paying for something that was right. So take the time. The ultimate is going to cost you more than you thought it was. But there's reasons. Now, a lot of people say you should get X number of bids, and I encourage that. But it doesn't mean that you have to or you don't have to, whatever. Get some multiple bids. Talk to some people. Really understand what you want done. If you come into an agreement to do some of this stuff on a project and a remodel or building a new home, and you have just an idea, I think this is what I want, those are the kind of bids you're going to get. You're going to get, I think this is what I want bid. I encourage people to tell contractors what their true budget is, not try to hold it back.
Yeah.
You know, if I know I can spend $150,000 on a project, it's not going to do me any good to tell my contractor that I just trusted, that I checked with, that I interviewed, that I know I want to go to tell them I only could spend $100,000. So guess what? You're going to get a bid for $100,000.
And
you're not going to get what you wanted done. So,
and that makes sense. And when, you're talking about, you brought up swimming pools. Do you have to have special licensing for a swimming pool?
Yes, there's a swimming pool license. There's a swimming pool.
Plumbing.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact number it is, but a swimming pool license, right.
So if you're buying a house and you have an inspector come in and you've got a swimming pool in the back, is that inspector going to inspect that swimming pool as well, or are they going to inspect the house?
Is the swimming pool being constructed?
No.
Okay, it's already done?
Right.
They're not going to inspect it. It's done.
But if it's an old swimming pool, it could have problems.
Yeah, but they're not going to inspect it.
So you have to hire a different kind of inspector to come in and check out that swimming pool if you want to be sure.
You could, but that wouldn't be us.
Okay.
Yeah. So
we're not going to inspect the swimming pool?
For what?
Why would I specifically ask for you?
Yeah, but it wouldn't matter. So, firstly, we have jurisdiction, but secondly, we're not, the inspection doesn't imply that we come to see if there's something wrong.
Okay.
You tell us there's something wrong.
Okay, there's,
so in other words,
difference.
We investigate alleged deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
You say, I bought this new house, it's got a swimming pool, ROC, come out and check to see if it's okay. We don't do that. You can find somebody to do that. Secondly, if the pool was built over 2 years ago, we don't have any jurisdiction.
No.
Our jurisdiction is 2 years from the time the work was done, is what we have.
Does that apply to the entire house?
Anything.
Anything.
Yeah, any work that was done, we have a 2-year jurisdiction.
Okay.
So what you end up with, if you're in the mortgage business and the loan business, the real estate business, when you buy and sell homes, there's inspectors that come out and will do an inspection of the home, a pre-purchase, or they'll come out. Some people hire them. They come out and they double check to see if everything is in order. Typically, that's a different thing. Or you can hire somebody anytime you want to come out and inspect, but that's not what the Registrar of Contractors does.
I encourage people to have an inspector come out and look at your house before you put it on the market, because it'll save you a lot of time down the road.
Correct.
So we've got monsoon season. It should be here next week. I think they said Monday at about 5.
4:33, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. And people are going to, and it happens every year, I see it, people are going to end up with damage to their property. Mm-hmm. What is your advice to them?
Okay. First, don't make any quick decisions. If you have damage to your property, do what you can immediately to mitigate it. For instance, if you have roof damage, get some blue tarps, throw it over the top. Okay? Get a hold of a roofing company. Get a hold of your insurance company. Make sure the roofing company is licensed. Let them know what you've got going on. Understand that if you have damage, many other people have damage. I don't have the number of how many roofing companies are licensed in the state of Arizona, but or companies that are licensed. A general contractor can perform that kind of work, but a roofing contractor can. But remember that it could take some time to get this done right. Don't hand over your money to somebody that you don't know who they are. Don't pay cash to somebody. You make the call to somebody. Call them, say, I've got damage here, call your insurance company, all those other kind of things, and get it done. Always make sure the person is properly licensed. Understand that an insurance estimate is not a contract unless your contract says, per this insurance estimate. And also understand, a licensed contractor doesn't have to perform the work for the dollar amount on the insurance estimate. That just is telling you what the insurance company is going to pay you.
So it could be more.
Yeah, absolutely.
It could be less.
It could be
probably
more.
Probably not. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Okay, thank you for staying with us. As you know, our guest today is the Director of Register of Contractors, Jeff Fleetum, and we've been talking about the do's and downs, the ups and downs, the happy stuff, the not-so-happy stuff, and being in the mortgage business, we have people, we hire inspectors to go, or the client does, to go inspect a house before it's purchased. That's not a part of what you do.
No, ma'am. No, it's not.
So, you know, you're talking apples and oranges here. This is not something under your jurisdiction at all.
No. We regulate licensed contractors and the work that they have performed within 2 years.
I have a question for you. Okay, licensed contractor. I know the Arizona Bar, if you hire an attorney, you can call the bar and say, how many bar complaints does this guy have? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, is he a good guy, a bad guy, right, or what are we talking mm-hmm. about? Can they do the same thing with a licensed contractor? Yeah,
certainly. They can go to our website. They can insert the contractor's name or license number, and it's going to pull up their license number. If they've got multiple license numbers, it'll show that they have. And some contractors have more than one license.
Why?
Well,
because of the different things.
So right, different things that they do. They may have made an option rather than to have a combination license, commercial and residential. They may have a commercial license to do commercial work and a residential license.
Okay.
Or like you said, there might be somebody who wants to get into a lot of different things. They may have their own electrical license. They may have a plumbing license. They may have a general contracting license. So they can keep all of that stuff under one roof rather than go to other companies to subcontract that.
Okay, so if you look up their license number, you can find out, number one, if they have any complaints, and if so, how many complaints, and if it's current.
Certainly, all those kind of things. Now, those things will show up. If you still have some questions there when looking at the website, it's typically a two-year history shows on the website, just flash like this.
Okay.
If you want additional information, call our office if you want additional information. There's always, and if you want more detailed information, you can do a public records request.
Oh, and is there a charge for any of this? Say what?
There could be charges, but typically not.
Public records request, yes.
Online, no. Public records request, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I was getting that clarified. I couldn't remember what the number was.
And if people don't know, I've got a bunch of people in the studio here. We're all kind of looking at each other.
What, on public records requests? Well, I mean, it does. You can check online, call our people. If what you see online, you still have questions, call our agency, and they'll get to the information they can.
Okay, and a public record request, that would be jail records and everything.
No.
No? What is it?
No, from up. We don't have jail records. We don't have criminal records.
Okay. But you do put people in jail for doing
that. No, we never put anybody in jail. The prosecutors do.
Oh.
That's the thing.
You're the good guy.
We don't do that. We package cases to turn over to prosecutors. We are an administrative law agency. When we turn something over to a prosecutor, then it turns to criminal. They're the ones that put people in jail.
Okay.
So we know there are some people that should be in jail.
And you do have a most wanted list, and that's on your website.
Yes, we do.
Which is roc.az.gov.
Right.
And you won't find my picture there. Just saying.
Just a second. I'm taking your picture right now.
No, you're not. Okay. We're in the monsoon season, and I think this is the best time to buy a house because people can see if that house is underwater, like the one I was thinking of buying. But you can tell if there's roof damage because it's coming in. You look up in the kitchen. And there's all this stuff going on. If you're going to hire somebody, and I had somebody, a friend of mine just had a roof replaced. You're going to hire somebody. You know they're licensed. You've done your due diligence. You need to do that for everybody that you're getting bids from. You don't just do it once or you see on the back of the truck it says license number, blah, blah, blah. That's not good enough. You need more.
That's what would I suggest, that you need to double check that.
Triple check.
Triple check. And keep in mind that most folks are honorable. It's not, it's not what you always hear. The things that you always hear about on the news are the bad things. You don't hear that, you don't hear on the news, in the morning, everything's going to be sunny, rainbows, lollipops. That's not what you hear. You go, here we've got this bad guy.
Yeah.
But what it does mean is this. When you're spending a lot of money, it's your home, it's where you sleep at night, do your due diligence. Spend your time making sure that you understand what's happening, that you know that you and the contractor are on the same page. Make sure you're on the same page.
And have a written contract.
Written contract that you each know what it says.
Okay.
And the damage that we can have here is pretty significant. So to always make sure it's licensed that you hire.
Okay. And we were talking in the break. There's on KGUN 9, they have an investigator that goes out, Matthew Schwartz. If you've got an issue and you think it's something that he can solve for you, call KGUN 9 and talk to Matthew. He's really good at what he does.
I would suggest file a complaint with the Arizona Register of Contractors.
In addition, also.
Oh, then
over and
all,
above.
Then in additionally, call KGUN. File a complaint with the Register of Contractors.
Okay.
Then call the news people.
Okay, I want to thank you guys for coming down from Phoenix. I've learned a lot from you. I'm so happy you were here.
Thank you.
I want to remind everybody, go to lawmatters1030.org. Get your tickets for our event in September. You're going to learn a lot.
Awesome.
Until next week, shop local, stay safe.